Welcome to OK Sis Podcast.
Hi, sisters. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Scout.
And we are sisters IRL.
I'm the older one.
Yes, Scout. We know.
Here at OK Sis, we believe women are multifaceted.
Which is why you can expect sisterly banter on a wide range of topics such as pop culture, our entrepreneurial journeys, and mental health routines.
We promise it'll be informative.
And silly.
As long as you don't get too loud, Mads.
Welcome to the sisterhood.
Sisters.
Hey,
happy Friday, TGIF.
It's Mads.
Hello. Hello again. Oh, I missed you guys. I'm not going to lie. I'm feeling a little razzled. Frazzled. That's the word I'm looking for. That just reminded me of Miss Frizzle. Was that her name? Okay. Now you understand like what this podcast is going to be like. This is going to be the vibe. Hi, how are you guys? You can say it out loud, how you are. It's just me and you. It's you and me. It's my whole world. Guys, I'm still manifesting Taylor Swift tickets. Although I do not have tickets in my possession, that doesn't scare me at all. That doesn't worry me at all. I will be there. I will be present and breathing the same air as mommy. Oh my God. Okay, this is going to be unhinged. Everyone just like buckle up, okay? Today's episode, we're going to talk about things that I've made my personality trait. So these are things that I'm like so obsessed with, won't shut the fuck up about. You've probably heard them, but here is a condensed episode of all the things that make up my personality traits. And I've talked about them ad nauseum, but I just want to list them all here. And I encourage you to do the same. You know, I know it's a trend to be like, oh, she made this her personality trait. But honestly, fuck it. If you like it, don't let anyone yuck your yum. That's what I always say. Okay, let's do a little like weekend recap. So last time I chatted with you, I was in San Diego. I just got back today. I'm feeling a little, as I said, razzle-dazzled because I had to drive back to LA this morning and I just feel like I haven't been able to catch up on the day. It's felt very rushed, which makes sense because I lost like 3 hours in the car, but I'm trying to shift my perspective, trying to, you know, still take care of myself, eat right, make good decisions about my health. I still went for my walk today. I'm about to do a little Pilates because those are non-negotiables. No matter how many hours in the day I have, I will always do those. And I feel like even the things I like to do haven't felt fun. And I really, really want to shift that to I have all the time in the world. I always get it done. It always works out. Hashtag lucky girl syndrome. It always works out for me because it has. You know, if you look back historically on your life, things have always fucking worked out and it's fantastic, right? So it's kind of weird in the present when we future trip? Yeah. When we trip out about the future because the past has always worked out. It's always fit. It's always, even though in the moment it didn't feel like it was going to fit like a puzzle, it kind of always did. You know what I mean? So why don't we remember that about the future? We freak out about the future, but we're like, wait, remember? Remember it like always works out for us? So let's adopt that mentality. Anyways, I've been trying to shift. Like if I find myself not wanting to do a certain task or feeling dread with the task at hand, I shift it to be like, oh my God, I get to do this. This is so amazing. Think of myself a couple years ago, who she would have killed to be editing TikToks and recording a solo episode and doing all these incredible things, having calls with literally dream brands. She would have killed for that type of day. And it just becomes so normal to us and we self-sabotage. I'm sure you relate to this because you're a sensitive, intelligent woman who's in touch with her emotions. But yeah, we got to be a little gentler. We got to be a little gentler. So today I was kind of like, oh, fuck, okay, let me do the TikTok. Let me do this. Okay, task, like check mark, check. And I just, it's weird because I feel like if I don't apply that type of urgency, then it feels like a little passive or it feels complacent, which I know we talked about that in the last episode about work, but I'm trying to get myself out of that where it's like, no, if I take my time, that doesn't mean I'm lazy. If I take my time and go a little slower and actually enjoy the task at hand and actually like take a breath before shifting gears, no, that doesn't make me lazy fucking bitch. That makes me a smart fucking bitch, right? Because that's sustainable. That's the longevity you need in order to keep pumping. Is any of this resonating or making sense? Please say yes out loud right now. Thank you. All right. What I'm working on this week. Oh, I guess I didn't even do the weekend recap. I mean, it was just a lot of family time, a lot of baby LK time. That baby, like there is just no amount of happiness. I can't even describe the level of happiness. My sister the other day said, imagine like how much you love LK. Now imagine how much you're going to love your own kid one day. And I like don't even understand the depth of what that love could be, because when I think of LK and I just smush her little face and cheeks against mine, there's no better drug, there's no better high in the entire world. And I hope everyone, every aunt listening knows exactly what I'm talking about, you know? Also any mom listening, but any aunt, there's a special bond. Me and LK, we're tight. We're super close, so. Saturday we took her to Balboa Park, which is this beautiful like museums and area in San Diego. It's like a big park, and I hadn't been there, I think, since like high school. It's changed a lot, but it's still really nice. And Ben June met us there, and he had never been there. So that was a really fun little outing for us. And then Saturday night, me and Ben June went on a date night, which was really fun because usually when we're in San Diego, we typically just hang out with my dad and we go, you know, swimming, or we just eat dinner at my dad's house, which is amazing. My dad's an amazing cook, but I never get to like explore San Diego and see it. You know, I grew up there, but it's so different now. So many amazing restaurants and places, and I just wanted to discover. So we went to this restaurant called Marisi in La Jolla. It was fan-fucking-tastic, such incredible Italian food. And then we went to Little Italy to Vino Carta, which is this natural wine bar there. I used to go during the pandemic and get my natural wine from there. And so it was nice to see it as like an actual bar. It was really cool. So we got a glass of wine there. And then, yeah, it was just such a nice little night of us just exploring San Diego. Then we, Sunday, what did we do Sunday? Oh my God. We woke up really early and I was like, let's go for a walk. Let's just go to the beach. Let's go for a walk. We went back to La Jolla and we went on this trail. We first picked up coffee from Java Earth Coffee. I had seen it all over TikTok, which is so funny that I'm on San Diego TikTok, even though I post so much about LA. But it was such great coffee. And then we walked to this trail called Coast Walk Trail. It's basically the whole La Jolla shores and cove and whatever, just like along the water. It's pretty touristy, but there's this part of the trail that starts like before it gets touristy, and I've never walked it in my entire life, and I was floored. Like just sweeping ocean views. Oh my God, it was just like a super small trail. It felt like something in like Big Sur. I don't know. It was divine. Just the best day. It was kind of gloomy, but it was perfect. Like it wasn't too hot. It was like we could still see the horizon. I had coffee and it would just, oh my God. I wanted to capture that moment and that feeling of ease and peace. And it just reminded me that I need to do that more in LA. I feel like I say that anytime I go out to Malibu and take a walk. I'm like, why the fuck don't I do this more? It's so accessible to me. So that was really special. And I really encourage you, if you're either near a body of water or if you're near just a really beautiful trail, wake up early, get your favorite coffee from your coffee shop, and then go on the trail. And again, things that I've made my personality trait, try walking for 30 minutes without headphones or your phone. And then after that, maybe you can listen to some nice music and podcast. But the 30 minutes, coffee in hand, walking, I don't know, guys, like I've been transformed the past couple of weeks. Like, yeah, you've seen it. I'm transfixed by this new addition to my routine. So we did that and it was fantastic. Then we went back to my dad's, or we picked up LK, which was so crazy. It was the first time I ever drove with LK, which was very scary. But we got her to my dad safe and sound. We fed her. We had her put down for a nap. My sister was getting her eyebrows done. So we kind of just like took her and babysat her for a little. Benjun is so sweet with LK. He's like obsessed with her. He has all these photos and videos on his phone that he just watches whenever he's sad. Guys, how cute. So then we had a little Memorial Day party just for the family. People came over. We went in the pool for a little bit. Still kind of gloomy weather, which was not fun, but it was good to see everyone and have some food. And then we watched the Succession finale. Woohoo, baby. I mean, by this time, if you haven't watched it, like, I guess, okay, if you don't want it spoiled, I mean, there's not really much for me to even spoil, but it wrapped up. There was a twist at the end, of course. I was kind of mad at Shiv, but then also I was like, oh, wait, yeah, you probably did do the right thing. Like, you saved yourself, which, you know, they're all selfish, but, like, she needed to do what she did for herself, and that's fine. And the fact that Tom is literally the succeeder. Oh, God. Oi. The succeeder. Okay. Tom is now the new person in charge is how this ended. If I was, that was not on my 2023 bingo card. Okay. Tom winning Succession. But alas, here we are. So that was really fun to watch that. And then Monday, I just worked a bunch and then went to my friend Caroline's house to play Rummy Cube with our friend Luke. And it was just a great day. Drank natural wine and played Rummy Cube. I mean, what else? Ate pizza. What else do you want? So what I'm working on this week, though, it's a combination of things. I was listening to Joe Dispenza on Jay Shetty's podcast, and I've listened to Joe Dispenza in the past, and obviously I'm very familiar with his work. A lot of what he says is similar to the rhetoric around Lacey Phillips and, you know, subconscious reprogramming, establishing new beliefs, monitoring your thoughts. But I thought something that was really amazing, you know, Jay Shetty laid out this one example of, let's say your partner, you know, you get in a fight with your partner, or you have something like a fire happen, and then you have to go do a big presentation at work. Like, how do you not let that frustration seep in? Or like, how do you not feel like so shaken by that experience? And like, how do you then put on your best foot forward to like for this presentation or whatever? And Dr. Joe Dispenza said, you know, you remove yourself from the situation, you get really quiet with yourself, you do like a literal 1 minute, 3 minute meditation. And because the reason you're even asking that question is because you're letting forces outside of you control your emotions. You're letting that fight with your partner control your emotions. You're letting that whatever thing that you had to do for your kid control your emotions. And he is of the belief, and this is like his whole, you know, teachings, is that you are in control of your emotions. You have full control over your thoughts, over your emotions. You can literally change them in an instant. And so he said, you know, go into a quiet space. You're doing a little meditation and you're literally feeling the emotion that you desire to feel. Yes, like you'll approach that situation at a later time, maybe at the end of the day when you're not in an altered state, when you're not in a state of fight or flight or of frustration. But you have to, in that moment, your only priority is to get yourself out of fight or flight, to get yourself out of that altered state and back into a restorative, parasympathetic nervous system so that you can operate at your optimal, you know, efficiency, right? You can like be just a normal person. So that was really amazing because I've heard that time and time again, but it just kind of clicked for me where I was like, whoa, you know, think about any time that you have felt at mercy of someone else's situation, right? Like, or something happens to you, but you're letting that external thing control your emotions. It happens all the time, right? It happens, probably fucking happened to you today, right? You are affected because, again, you're a sympathetic, intelligent woman. So you're going to be affected by things around you. But it was so liberating to be like, oh, wait, I literally have the power within me to change that emotion. And it's not that, it doesn't mean that I don't care about the fight that I had with my partner or that I'm indifferent or that I'm whatever. No, it just means that I have something right now that I'm trying to get myself back to a space of regulatory nervous system. And I can choose to feel a different emotion at this time. That's like fucking magic. That's superpowers, right?
The other day, my cousin looked at me and asked if I got a treatment in my hair. I said no, but I am taking Nutrafol. You see, sisters, I had some shedding issues postpartum when it came to my hair, so I made it my mission to support my hair growth and strengthen my hair. I mean, Mads, you saw my hair last time I was up in LA, and you even complimented me. Which, sisters, you know that when Mads compliments me, it's a big deal.
I do have to give this one to you, Scout. Your hair is looking thick, strong, and beautiful. When it comes to hair thinning, it's complicated. The problem is, it's actually much bigger than your hair alone. Like your skin, hair is a reflection of your health, and internal factors can impact the way your hair looks, feels, and grows. Nutrafol's whole body approach multi-targets underlying root causes like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrient gaps for visibly thicker and stronger hair.
Every morning after I eat breakfast, I take 4 pills and it becomes a seamless addition to my morning routine. But the reason I decided to go with Nutrafol when supporting my hair health is that Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. Oh, also, Nutrafol makes the best Mother's Day present, especially for new moms. The perfect way to show them that you care about their postpartum support.
Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code OKSIS. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code OKAYSIS. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code OKSIS.
So that's what I've been working on. Every moment, moment to moment, the monitoring, the self-maintenance, the self-monitoring of the thoughts, all thoughts are being monitored, right? I'm just done talking negatively to myself. I'm fucking done. You should be done with it too. Like, it's done. We're done. Enough. Enough. You know that negative thoughts then turn into beliefs, then turn into action. So if you keep fucking telling yourself that you're unworthy, then that's what the reality that you're going to put in the world. That's the reality you're going to live, is that you're unworthy. Do you want that? No, of course not. No one would ever want to feel unworthy. Like, you wouldn't choose that. So stop telling yourself that you are unworthy. I'm like done with this negative talk. There is so much science and so much evidence that the way we talk to ourselves directly correlates with the way we are in the world, the way we show up. So hey, why the fuck don't you just tell yourself, you're so worthy, you're deserving of this, you are loved, you are enough, you're doing the fucking best you can. Hey, go a little slower. Hey, take a breath. Hey, let's calm our nervous system down for a second before we move on, before we rush into the next thing. How does that feel? Like, why? I give you permission to talk to yourself that way today. Just try it. Like, you're going to sound dumb and you're going to think you sound dumb. I don't care. Like, I'm done. Like, I'm done talking badly to ourselves. Like, we don't, enough. Because then we're going to start acting like an unworthy, unlovable person. And you're not that, right? You know deep down that you're not that. So let's like stop. Let's stop that repetition and let's stop those repetitive thoughts, because those repetitive thoughts and those affirmations, no matter, you know, affirmations can be negative as well. And you're literally, and I'm saying this to myself too, you're literally putting negative affirmations into your subconscious. So like, enough of that. Wow, that was a 17-minute tangent. Oh gosh, before I got on the mic, I was like, all right, Mads, let's do a quickie here because like I have shit to do. Of course, no quick. I'm incapable of quickies, lol. Okay, let's get into things that I've made my personality trait. I mentioned it already a couple times, natural wine. I first got into natural wine during the pandemic. It was actually Ben June that introduced me to natural wine. And he was really into supporting small businesses and like learning about wine. And it was kind of this like cool hobby that both of us started doing. He doesn't really drink as much anymore. So now I've taken on the hobby full force. There is something about natural wine, the community, the way that it's grown and harvested, and the local winemakers, and they come from more, it feels like so much more localized and small businesses. And there's all these amazing stories behind each of these natural wines. And you look at the wines that you might, you know, even if you looked at like nicer wines that aren't natural, there's not this like beautiful stories behind them. And I don't know, I really connect to the people behind the natural wine makers, if that makes sense. And usually any restaurant that has natural wine is one that I trust. So, and it's actually a big indicator of, people always ask me like, how do I plan for trips, or how to like know where to go for like the cool spots. And this might seem weird, but this is just a tip that I find really helps, is I always look up where there is natural wine in a city. And then typically that area is going to be like the more hip, cool restaurants, you know, more of the localized scene, at least in my opinion. So like whenever, you know, I go to Nashville or I went to Charleston, like I looked up the natural wine bars so that I can like see in relation to where everything else is, like what is that area or neighborhood. So that's all to say, I love natural wine. I love the taste of it. We love orange wine. We're going into orange wine season for summer, very chuggable. And if you want to learn more about natural wine, I would follow Mas Vino, please. She's my favorite natural wine influencer. She has a TikTok, Instagram. She's fan-fucking-tastic. Okay, another thing I made my personality trait, and I already mentioned again, Rummikube. So I've been playing Rummikube since I was a little girl. It's like an old Jewish grandma game, but it's the only board game I like and that I'm good at. So that's the only one I play. That and Cards Against Humanity. Those are the only two games I will ever play. And I love Rummikube so much that I started a club here in LA that we do through Camber. We do Rummikube every single month at a new cool spot in LA. And it's been an amazing way to bring people together. And I also just didn't even know that there was that many young people that played Rummikube. I posted on TikTok being like, does anyone know how to play Rummikube? But so many people do. And that makes me so happy because a lot of them learned from their grandmas or learned from their families. And so this feels like this really embedded family tradition game. And I highly encourage everyone to play it. It's so delightful and fun. And yeah, something about Rummikube, you know, whenever I travel, I always bring Rummikube as well. Like Ben and I will play when we're at a wine bar, or we're at, you know, a cafe or something, if we're traveling and just have like a couple hours to kill or want to sit and like not be on our phones, or even, you know, still talk to one another, but feel like we're doing something that's not digital or that's analog. That's where Rummikube comes in. It just feels so peaceful. It really, it's again, it feels like the same thing as the silent walks. Like it just feels so like your brain kind of just flows. I don't know. I'm into it, guys. All right. Another thing that I made my personality trait is matching sets. I first became obsessed with matching sets because of sweatsuits when they kind of boomed in the pandemic era. I was a sweatsuit queen. I love being cozy. I love being comfy. I love oversized things. I don't like things to be tight. And that lent itself very well to sweatsuits. And I would wear them in the summer and I was schwitzing all the time and I didn't care because I just wanted to be comfortable all the time. Fast forward to today, I'm not as big on sweatsuits anymore, but I'm really still into matching sets. And they can be more like flowy. They don't have to be, you know, heavier fabric. They can be linens. They can be silk. Like if I am online shopping, I always without fail go to the section that says sets. Always. I don't even look at anything else, literally. So that's been my go-to. That's been my style is just always matching. And I'm so happy that trend is like still a thing because it fits my personality and my vibe completely right. And that kind of leads me into my next one, is like me being a neutral queen. So my personality is very, it's very loud and vibrant and colorful in personality. So therefore, everything around me aesthetically needs to be neutral so that my personality can shine, is how I like to see it. But yeah, I'm allergic to color. I don't know what it is. I've tried to like have little pops of color here and there, and I can't do it. I need everything to be Jenny Kane, neutral, just like whites, creams. I want it to feel like a landscape, like just be like, just, oh, I want to feel like walking in my house is like a deep breath. Again, we're trying to get to this like peaceful, restorative. There's no, you know, there's no maximalist here. We're minimalist. Cause the maximalist is in the head. Okay. My brain is maximalist. Everything else needs to be minimalist or else I'll go fucking insane. So neutral queen is something that I've made my personality trait. And then lastly, you all know this, romance novels. So I don't know if I've told the story of how I started reading romance novels. I'm sure if you've been listening to OK Sis since 2020, when I started reading romance novels, you've heard of this, but it all started in the pandemic. I read The Hating Game by Sally Thorne. And it was so funny because I was such a pretentious little hoe before, and I would only read literary fiction, similar to my sister Scoutula. And I never thought that reading was like supposed to be, obviously I thought it was entertaining and I really loved the books I read, but I never thought it was like something I would crave and love and just do instead of watching TV, if that makes sense. So I read this book, The Hating Game by Sally Thorne. If you read it, then you know. It's not even that spicy. And when Sally Thorne was on OK Sis podcast, you can listen to that episode with her. I tell her this, like, I just was appalled. I was in awe and shock and in love with all the like pornographic scenes. I was just like, what? What? Like, this is what we're reading? And I was so into it. Like, I felt so empowered, even though it was like kind of cheesy. It was such a light read. It was easy. And I just really loved it. And I don't know, I kind of just fell in love with the genre. And I didn't like that in the past I might have judged people for that genre, and it's really dumb. So now I've made a whole 180 and I'm like, every woman needs to read romance novels. It like taps you into something sexually, just like with confidence, love stories. If you don't read romance novels yet, also it's pretty mainstream, which I'm so happy about. So that's been really nice. But I posted on TikTok saying, if you're looking for an alternative to porn, read The Hating Game by Sally Thorne. And that went completely viral, of course, because I said the word porn. And then after that, like every video I posted, because then I was like, oh, wow, I should start reading romance novels. And then I just got so addicted. And then I was posting all these TikToks and it kind of went viral. And now we're where we are now, which is me being the romance novel enthusiast and recommender that you all love and know today. Okay. Wow. That was fun. That was really fun. I really encourage everyone to sit down and write down like things I've made my personality trait. It's also a really good like branding exercise. I don't know, because like these are the things that I talk about time and time again that I won't shut the fuck up about. And so obviously they mean a lot to me and they're things that I want to share with people. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. I sure did. I sure love you. And if you need to like rewind and listen to that part of me like screaming at you that you're worthy, feel free to like screen record that and make it your ringtone, because everyone needs to remember that. I'm definitely going to go back and listen to that, because that was like equally for me as much as it was for you. But let's try that, guys, this weekend. Let's try to just like, dare I say, be nice to ourselves? Like, dare I say it? Anyways, I love you and I'll see you next week.
Do you ever feel like you're struggling through motherhood? You're not alone. I'm Erica Jossa, host of the MomWell podcast, therapist and mom of three. Join me each Wednesday as I sit down with guests, including psychologists, pediatricians, psychiatrists, fertility specialists, lactation consultants, and more, to unravel the myths of motherhood. With expert advice, practical tips, self-love, and some coping skills to help you along the way, you can become the mother you want to be. Listen to the MomWell podcast at momwell.com/listen or on your favorite podcast platform.